Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death. For what the law, weakened by the flesh, was powerless to do, this God has done, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for the sake of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous decree of the law might be fulfilled in us. We live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit with the things of the Spirit. The concern of the flesh is death, but the concern of the Spirit is life and peace. For the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Verbum Domini. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Are those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." Verbum Domini. Jesus, in Luke's gospel today, is commanding us to repent. Luke is known for its teachings on mercy. We have the prodigal son and other teachings there. But we must repent. We must turn from our sin. And these people that died suddenly or through brutality of Pilate, they died. He's telling us, we'll perish if we don't repent. He doesn't mean, you sin, you get killed in some tragic accident or something. He's talking about eternal life, eternal death, that we're going to perish. How horrific this is and sudden, these things, the collapse of the tower, Pilate's actions, as sudden and shocking as they are, we too will have to give an accounting of our lives. We don't know when death comes for us. So we must repent. And we must bear fruit. That's our mission, right? To repent, to turn from God, to walk by the Spirit, as we hear in the first reading today, Paul, chapter 8, Romans. We need to walk by the Spirit. We need to be bearing fruit, turn from sin, which leads to death, and embrace the Lord. These chapters we've been going through in Romans, in the masses here, especially 6 and 8, speak about the flesh, this fallen aspect of our human nature. That yes, we've been cleansed of sin by baptism, the sacraments, but we still have a fallen human nature. The flesh, we have this tendency to sin, these disordered desires. We got a problem. We got a serious problem that we can't overcome ourselves. If you read Romans chapter 1, he hits the ground running and he talks about this problem that we have, that we've become disconnected from God and we fall prey to our evil desires. And he says it's through our own fault, because even in creation, ever since the creation of the world, he says in Romans 1, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, he says, those who have rejected God, that we can look at the beauty, the order of the created world, and perceive the creator of it. And when we don't, we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. He goes on to say we worship creation rather than the Creator. So we've exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than Creator. And then we lose sense of ourselves. We lose sense of our identity. God's revealing himself to us through nature, and then the fullness of that is through his revelation we see in the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ and the New Testament that leads us to the fulfillment, a flourishing of our human life. We belong to him. Our identity is found in him, not in our fallen desires, our fallen human nature, or from the world. And because we've left him, he tells us in Romans 1:26, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. He says, talks about men and women exchanging natural relations for the unnatural. He says they were filled with all manner of wickedness. All of us are filled with wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but approve of those practices. We live in a growing secular age that has pushed God aside. We lose sense of ourselves. We've lost our understanding of who God is and his plan for us. So I think we have to get that part, that we have this fallen nature that we cannot save ourselves. Without God, without his grace, without his spirit, we fall prey to the flesh. This is the effect of original sin. We've disobeyed God, and we used to walk in the breezy time of the day with God in the garden, we're told, and then we're hiding ourselves. And there's this acrimony between the man and the woman, and this rebellion of nature against man, the toil, the sweat of the brow. And we die. We die. We have to give an accounting. We call the flesh that Paul speaks of here as concupiscence, this fallen human nature, this tendency to sin. The body is good. It's made by God. Our body shares in the image of God. Certainly our rational mind, our intellect, and our will We're persons. God is a divine person. We're a human person. We image God, and that includes the body. The body itself is good, but this fallen aspect of us that we've inherited from Adam and Eve, our first parents, that we come from them, we have this tendency to sin, concupiscence. The flesh, it's our weakness. So we see that we suffer and die. We have corruptible bodies. We have darkened minds. We suffer ignorance. We get things wrong. We have an inability to obey God without grace, he tells us in today's passage. An inability to obey God without grace. I even need God's grace to move my will to want to seek him. I cooperate with that. I try to get rid of the obstacles in my life that block that, but I absolutely need grace to overcome the flesh. We have this inclination towards sin. Was it yesterday, the day before, Paul talked about, I do what I do not want to do. I set my mind to do the good things. I got this struggle within me. I've got to appeal to God. I need to ask God for help. And the desires of the flesh are directly opposed to the will of the Spirit. So we have this fallen human nature, we have a fallen world, and then we got Satan and all his minions after us trying to deter us from following God. So we have to repent. We can't just float with the culture, with what our desires are. We have to take those desires to the Lord and let him fulfill them. If we give them over to the tendency to sin, they'll lead us astray. He tells us that for no human being, this is 3:20, Romans 3:20, for no human being will be justified in his sight by works of the law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. He speaks of law in the flesh, that the law, you know, teaches us, you know, consists of the Ten Commandments and how to worship God. In a sense, it reveals the mind of God to us, His holiness, and is leading us to respond to that revelation that we have, you know, the Ten Commandments given to us and fulfilled on the Sermon on the Mount by Christ. He didn't abolish that. You know, that, so the law alone shows us what sin is, but I need Christ. I need His Spirit to obey and fulfill that law. I need to repent and believe. So in today's passage, He gives us, well, in the first reading, Romans 8, He gives us the good news. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you take anything away from today's psalm, take that. We have faith in Jesus, belonging to Him, having His Spirit. There's no condemnation for us if we are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has freed you from the law of sin and death. That's greater than all that stuff I mentioned, all that tendency to wickedness and evil that we have. That law of Christ is greater. For what the law, weakened by the flesh, was powerless to do, God has done for us. Have you ever hit the wall trying to fight things in your life? I think Father Pascal said it, you know, we have that mask in our life that sometimes it gets broken and cracked up. As we go on through life, we can't keep all the balls in the air juggling, the plates spinning, and we see our weakness. The flesh was powerless to do this, but God has done it through His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, through the Incarnation. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, suffered and died for us, ascended, gave us the Holy Spirit. He's done it for us. That's where the faith comes in, to believe in Him. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous decree of the law might be fulfilled in us. That constant covenantal ruptures in the Old Testament, finally Christ comes to fulfill those covenants, those bonds with God, and to fulfill the law. For those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh. It's kind of a mild word, concerned. Some of the translations have says that their minds are set on the things of the flesh. You know, we can be focused, we can become addicted to the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, some translations say walk by the Spirit. I like that translation. Because we walked with God in the cool of the day, right, in the garden. Now we can walk by the Spirit and not fall prey to the flesh. So the concern of the flesh is death, but the concern of the Spirit is life and peace. For the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. The wages of sin is death. He says that earlier, previous chapter. The payment of sin is death. If I give myself over to a life of sin, that's what I will be paid. Gives us something to think about. But the concern of the Spirit is life and peace. That's what we're offered, life or death. We can walk by that Spirit and receive His life, His fulfillment, His flourishing. But the concern of the flesh is hostility towards God. You know, sometimes I'm shocked. meet people that have just, okay, fine, not fine, but if you don't believe in God, that's your choice. Where's all the hostility come from? It seems disproportionate, this rebellion. If I see somebody I think they're believing something incorrectly, I might try to help them feel sorry. I don't have this hostility. Where is that? There's some kind of rebellion in us. I don't know if we know in our hearts that God really is the one true God that we worship here, that Christianity professes. And there's something in us that will rebel against that. We have this inability at times to obey God without grace. We don't submit to the law. But he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, but you are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. And we know that because of our faith in Jesus Christ and our reception of the sacraments. These are God's promises. He is faithful to what the church teaches here, that if we're baptized, confirmed, receive the Eucharist, you know, if we're confessing especially our mortal sins, we are in the Spirit. We belong to Christ. He says earlier that we were baptized into his death, that we put to death this flesh, and we're raised with him. We live with him. That baptism we receive, we've died to sin. We've received, by the power of his resurrection, this new life. So whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But we belong to him. We've received the sacraments. Isaiah 43, you know, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you. By name, you are mine. I hear that repeatedly on Life on the Rock. We interview these people that are evangelizing, especially with young people. He said, but it goes for all of us, said they're always having to remind people of their identity, that we belong to him. Sacraments, you know, give us this communion with Christ, which is life, that overcomes this fallen flesh. So Paul says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. As the one who raised Christ from the dead will give us life to our mortal bodies, to the spirit who dwells in you. That yes, we have corruptible bodies. Yes, we die, but we will be raised with Christ. These are the great promises of the gospel. This is what God is doing for us. It's passed over to us in the sacraments. He's given us his Spirit. Our call is to walk by that Spirit to receive this new life.